Hello and a warm welcome to the Sweet Spot here on The Racing Post, your go-to golf tipping show. It's the big one this week as we prepare for the 149th Open Championship. It's Jack Reeve and Steve Palmer to guide you through what should be another fantastic major where we have a resounding favourite. We'll get onto that shortly, but first, Steve, it's been a fairly turbulent week for the English, hasn't it?
It has. I'm trying to get over that. We need to be positive for the Open, but we're struggling to get over the football. There's no denying that. That's 43 years of hurt and counting for me now. I don't want to start a post-mortem, but I just think Grealish and Sancho chronically underused the whole tournament. I think they spent too long on the bench on Sunday, and I think that's what cost us the game, really.
Did your life peak at about 2 minutes past eight on Sunday night?
I don't know. I think it peaked after Maguire's penalty, actually, because I actually thought, blimey, we've got this. Pickford did fantastic in the shootout, didn't he? But then it went horribly wrong from there. But yeah, I thought we'd win in extra time or lose on penalties. I keep harping on about it. But Sancho and Grealish, I mean, they're two fantastic players. I mean, how many minutes did Sancho play in that tournament?
Not enough. Well, it didn't work out with the football. Steve, hopefully it will work out with the golf this week. Let's have a quick look back at last week's action. And let's start with the Scottish Open, a really enjoyable tournament won by Minwoo Lee on 18 under after a three-man playoff alongside Fitzpatrick and Thomas Dietrich. Steve, it was a really high-class field. So even more credit has to go to Minwoo Lee.
Yeah, I love Minwoo Lee. We were on Minwoo Lee for his first victory, but that was in Australia. This is his first overseas success, Rolex Series event. It's a big stepping stone forward for Minwoo Lee. We've had a little run of Australian winners, haven't we? We had Lucas Herbert winning the Irish Open. We've had Cameron Davis winning on the PGA Tour, and now Minwoo Lee. I think Minwoo Lee is probably the best of them. He's got a beautiful textbook golf swing, massive future.
I loved that shot into the hole that was ended up being his winning hole in that playoff. He hit that stinging, beautiful iron shot and didn't even really track it. He just followed it, almost like Tiger used to do back in the day. And it was brilliant.
Yeah, he knew it was great, didn't he? He hit fantastic shot after fantastic shot on Sunday. Yeah, he came from deep on the leaderboard. Really exciting talent. And he's playing this week. He's in the Open Championship, of course.
Absolutely, yeah. Got the late call-up, didn't he, alongside a few others. We'll get on to it later, but there's been a considerable amount of dropouts. So there's probably some players in the field this week that you may not have been expecting to see. Over in America with the John Deere Classic, it was won by Lucas Glover on 19 under. Any notable performances from that tournament, Steve?
Well, I enjoyed that one just as much, actually, because Lucas Glover hasn't won for 10 years. There's 10 years between victories. His putting had become sort of X-rated stuff. He had one of the ugliest putting strokes on the tour. He was missing, like, the tiniest putts going. But this season, he started to hole a few, and he's got his reward. And again, like, a lot of people might fancy him from the Open. You know, Minwoo Lee looks like a Lynx natural all of a sudden, doesn't he? And Lucas Glover was 12th at Sandwich the last time the course was used in the 2011 Open. So some people would be jumping along Lucas Glover train again this week. I mean, yeah, I mean, during the football on Sunday, I was following Maverick McNealy's progress, and that was just adding to my woes. I mean, 18 pars in a row. Did you see that? He made 18 pars in a row.
steady, Steve. What more do you want?
If it was the US Open, that would have been very effective. But in the John Deere Classic, certainly not. But
just quickly talking about X-rated putting strokes, we have to give a mention to John Rahm in the Scottish Open. He missed a considerable amount of very short putts, didn't he? I mean, he looked, I'm not going to say nailed on because it's a Scottish Open, but you would have been backing him on the final day, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I did. His ball striking was superb. But as you say, I think there was a significant dent in putting confidence there. You know, I watched a lot of his interviews after the rounds, and he couldn't believe what was happening on the greens. He's not used to missing that many tiddlers. So I think that's significant for the big tournament we've got ahead.
Let's get straight into it. A wonderful link, Steve. It's like you've done this before. It is the 149th Open Championship at Royal St George's Golf Club in Sandwich, Kent. Steve, this is the big one. Let's get straight into it. How are the emotions, the feelings going into it? Because it's obviously work-wise a big week for you. Lots of words, lots of work. Are you tired? Are you feeling refreshed?
I was emotional on Sunday night. I found it very difficult to get over what happened on Sunday night. I know there's a lot of PR. You're one of the most positive characters I know, and I think you would have bounced back quickly. There's been a lot of talk about how well the lads did, and we should be happy with getting to the final and that. But I just can't see it that way, because we were joint favourites at the start of the tournament. You know, we had home advantage all the way. It's such a big opportunity. And then the Swiss knocked the French out. So they did a massive favour there. It was there to be won. It's a massive opportunity lost. But yeah, yesterday I made some progress. Today I've made more progress. Now I'm just up for the, I'm fully focused and well up for it. Don't you worry.
Well, we have kind of a bit of back and forth on WhatsApp. We're always trying to instill some positive mental attitude, aren't we? give us a run through of Royal St George's. What can we expect?
We can expect 7,189 yards, par 70. It's hosted 14 Open Championships, the most recent ones, 1993, 2003, 2011. Greg Norman, Ben Curtis and Darren Clark, the last three winners. Three very good drivers of the ball. There's only two par fives, a couple of really long par threes. Very undulating terrain. Hitting these bumpy fairways is tough. The rough's really long this year. Runoff areas around the greens. Five under par was the winning score in 2011. Only four players finished under par. There's going to be a pretty consistent moderate breeze this week, all 4 days, if the forecast is right. The course is going to start quite soft, though. It's lusher than the organisers would like. Sunshine all week is going to dry out. So last time, five under par, led after round one, and then was the winning score. I can see that happening again. I think there'll be some good early scores in the lush conditions. Course will dry out. I think we'll get a very similar test to 2011.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up playing links golf, Steve, and I was playing at my local course yesterday. I know it's a different location, but I couldn't believe how green it was. We've had a lot of rain recently, haven't we? Let's take a quick look at the top of the market. John Rahm is the resounding favourite at 8-1. Brooks Koepka 18-1. Jordan Spieth 18s. Rory McIlroy 20s. Xander Schauffele 20-1. Justin Thomas 20-1. Dustin Johnson 20-1. Victor Hovland 30-1. I'm sure we'll get on to some others later on. Steve, how many tips for the 149th Open Championship?
Six.
Six tips. Take it away with the opening tip.
Number one tip is Brooks Koepka. I haven't backed Brooks Koepka because of his injury situation this year. But I've seen some really encouraging signs on that front in his last two tournaments. It's 4 months now since his latest knee surgery, and he's looked fitter in his last two events. He played consecutive weeks, the US Open, the Travelers Championship back-to-back, finished fourth in the US Open and fifth in the Travelers Championship. And prior to that, despite not being 100% fit, he's still managing to contend in majors. He was runner-up in the USPGA behind Mickelson, fourth in the US Open. He'd never played Keir Island before, so that was a great effort in the USPGA. And his record at Torrey Pines in the Farmers Insurance Open was terrible. 41 miscut. So he was a surprise contender at the US Open. His record in majors generally is amazing. He's won four of his last 15 majors. He's posted 11 top 10s in that stretch. And he's had three second places. So a little bit of luck. You turn those second places into wins. He would win seven of his last 15 majors. I mean, he is the modern king of majors, Brooks Koepka. His open record is solid. 10-6-39-4 from the last four opens. His last four opens. He plays links golf well. So with that fitness and form coming back, I see him as the big threat to John Rahm. Remember, he won the Phoenix Open in February before the knee. He dislocated his knee again. And in the Travelers Championship last time out, topped the tee to green statistics, closed with a 65. Icing on the cake, Ricky Elliott. Ricky Elliott, great caddy, grew up in Portrush. You know, good player in his own right, knows links golf well. I think those two are the dream team this week. I think 18-1 Koepka is the best bet of the tournament.
Yes, yeah, it's a big price, isn't it? And as you say, his major record is phenomenal. So we're not worried about Koepka's recent injury record then, because, you know, watching him in the you know, down the stretch with Mickelson, you could really tell when he was getting down to read his putts that knee still wasn't quite right. Are we happy that's in order now?
We're happy. That was in May. We're in July now. He's actually said he's close to getting down properly for putts now. You know, it's 4 months since the surgery. I think I saw in the Travelers Championship, he looked much brighter in the Travelers Championship straight after a grueling US Open. He finished fifth in the Travelers Championship. So, yeah, I think Koepka is back. 18-1 with the each way places we're getting. Yeah, it's 12 each way places available with some firms this week. Fantastic opportunity.
Brooks Koepka, 18-1. Steve Palmer's best bet for the Open Championship. As Steve mentioned there, well worth shopping around for not only best price and best place terms. Some firms offering up to 12 places, a sixth of the odds this week. The second tip for the Open, Steve.
Next best is Shane Lowry, who's been in possession of the Claret Jug for 2 years. Obviously, the 2020 Open cancelled for coronavirus. Lowry was an emphatic winner of the last Open. Wonderful scenes at Royal Portrush, ran away from the field. I think a three-year spell as Open champion is entirely feasible. Podrick Harrington won back-to-back Opens in 2007 and 2008. I can see another Irishman doing likewise. Over the last 4 months, Lowry's been really solid, really impressive. Eighth place at Sawgrass started the run. Then he finished fourth in the USPGA. Brilliant final round alongside Harrington at Keir Island. Did his Ryder Cup chances the world of good there. He's desperate for a Ryder Cup debut, is Lowry. I think he's going to get it. He's a Lynx master. I mean, we all know he's grown up playing Lynx golf. He won the Irish Open as an amateur in 2009 on a Lynx. Last time out in the Irish Open, he closed with a 66. So, yeah, I'm expecting a stout title defence from Shane Lowry.
I loved watching Lowry's press conference leading into this week. And he said all he wants is just to get that first tee shot away and on the fairway, because there's been a lot of talk about that first hole. Apparently, some of the marshals on the right side have said there's been about six or seven balls lost in practice. It's a big opening tee shot, that, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you can see, you know, Rory McIlroy managed to lose the Open with his opening shot in Portrush. So, I mean, yeah, there's always huge pressure on that opening shot. But, yeah, I think Shane, I've noticed how cheerful Shane has been lately. You know, he's full of beans. I think he's really excited. Yeah, it's been a long stint as Open champion. He loves this tournament, and he's a huge runner, 40-1.
Yeah, that struck me. You would have thought there'll be huge pressure on Lowry's shoulders this week, but he seemed incredibly calm, didn't he? Shane Lowry, yeah. 35, 40-1 going about him this week. The third tip, Steve.
Brandon Grace, another one who loves Lynx golf. Really low ball flight through the wind. He won the 2012 Dunhill Lynx Championship. He finished sixth in the 2017 Open, and he carded a Saturday 62, the lowest round in major history. Both of his PGA Tour victories have come on coastal tracks. He's won twice in the winds of Qatar, and his build-up to this Open has been spot on for me. He was fourth in the Memorial, seventh in the US Open, gentle warm-up in Scotland last week, and he really improved his driving over the weekend. Those controlled cuts he hits off the tee are going to be perfect for Royal St. George's. This is a nine-time European Tour champion. I think he's ready to win his first major.
I'm just looking at the prices now. He's been really nibbled in, hasn't he, Brandon Grace?
Yeah, 70-1 opened. I think there's still a little bit of 70 out there. He's just got such a good profile for this. And, he's good enough to win majors. He's contended in US Opens. I think it's time for a serious Claret Jug tilt.
Yeah, lots of love for Brandon Grace. And you get me excited when you say the controlled cut, Steve. There's nothing quite like a nice cut off the tee, is there? Brandon Grace added to the Steve Palmer portfolio for this week. The four, what are we going for here?
Four is Harris English, who won the Travelers Championship last time out. That was his fourth PGA Tour title. Two of those wins have come this year. He was always destined for greatness. He won on the Nationwide Tour when he was still an amateur. He hasn't quite worked out. It's taken time. He won twice in 2013 and now twice this year. I think he's ready to win majors now. He's finished fourth and third in the last two US Opens. He was 15th in the 2013 Open. That was the last time he came to an Open with a recent win. He's a Sea Island resident, so he doesn't mind a bit of breeze. And he's got a great caddy on the bag, Eric Larson, really cool, calm veteran. He spent a bit of time in prison, actually. He's got a really good perspective on life. He chills everyone out who's around him, apparently. Larson was on the bag when Anthony Kim. We were chatting about Anthony Kim before we came on, weren't we?
We were, yeah.
Larson caddied for Anthony Kim when he made his Ryder Cup debut. He caddied for Jeff Overton when he made his Ryder Cup debut. And now he could have another Ryder Cup debut in Harris English. English is very eager to secure a Ryder Cup debut, just like Lowry is for a European one. English can get on that American team, and a good Open will help him do that.
Well, Steve, I hope English's career doesn't go in the same way that Kim's career did.
This is it. No, English is hungry for titles. Anthony Kim, as we discussed before the show, I mean, he wasn't hungry for titles. He was hungry for dollar. But don't you worry. Yeah, Harris English is a big time player, playing great. He had a little back problem in the middle of the year. He's over that now. And he's well suited to Lynx Golf. When he won the Century Tournament Champions at the start of the year, they asked him which major he was most looking forward to. Now he's back to form, and he said the Open Championship. It surprised a lot of people. It surprised me, but he relishes Lynx assignments.
Absolutely. Harris English, the fourth tip. Let's go for the fifth then, Steve.
Abraham Answer, joint top scorer in the 2019 President's Cup. He proved his bottle on the big stage there. He is based in Texas. He was born in Texas. He's comfortable in a breeze. He won the 2018 Australian Open by 5 shots. He's shown that he can handle these overseas missions. And, that was a fantastic win to just bowl over to Australia and win by 5 shots there. He's done it in the President's Cup as well in Melbourne. He's not made an open cut yet. I think that's going to put a lot of people off, but he missed out by just a shot at Portrush. No disgrace in that. And the way he's been swinging this summer, I think he's got to be a factor this week. He was fifth in the Valspar Championship, second in the Wells Fargo, eighth in the USPGA, fourth in the Travelers Championship last time out. Finds fairways for fun. I've talked about good drivers winning at Royal St. George's. I think you've got to drive the ball well this week. And Abraham Answer finds fairways relentlessly.
Yeah, there's something about Open Championships, isn't there? And I know, you know, you've been spending weeks upon weeks with form study going into this, but there is certainly with Lynx Golf probably more luck involved than maybe a Masters because of the way the course is laid out, because of the wind, because of the weather. So Abraham Answer goes in there. Who's the next you're going for, Steve?
Just on that point, Jack, before we continue, the good thing about this week is that the weather forecast looks so consistent. I mean, you're right. I've been to many Opens and I've been so frustrated when my boys are out there in the worst of the weather and then suddenly it's dead calm for everyone else. This week, it looks like a very consistent breeze all 4 days. Every day is the same, just a 15-mile-an-hour breeze. So hopefully we're going to get a fairer Open than normal.
That's good to hear. I remember seeing doing some research last night of Ricky Fowler walking down the last time. I think it was at Royal St George's in mitts, waterproofs. He had droplets of rain coming off his long hair, and you just think that's true British summer, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. I must admit, I'm not that bothered about missing out on going. I normally go to the Open. 2003 at Sandwich was my first one, and I've gone every year. And I it's often a very challenging week. I'm not missing out. Coronavirus has done me a favour a little bit there.
Good stuff. Who's up next, Steve?
The final one at the biggest price of all, the only one at three figures, is Stuart Sink. Don't be put off by his age. Veterans often thrive in the Open. Darren Clark, Ernie Els, Phil Mickelson, Henrik Stenson, they've all won the Open in their 40s over the last decade. Tom Watson nearly won the Open at the age of 59. All right, Stuart Sink's only 48. Experience counts for plenty in the Open. Sink has seen it all before. This is his 22nd Open appearance. He's played St. George's twice, 34-30, pretty solid figures. And of course, he's the one that defeated Watson in that Turnberry 2009 playoff. It wasn't just a one-off major performance. He's finished third in each of the stateside majors. Stuart Sink, top-class player. And he's enjoying a renaissance in his late 40s. He won the Safeway Open last year. He won the Heritage in April. He's been galvanized by having his son caddying for him. It inspires him. And they've only got a few tournaments left playing together. Little Reagan is quitting caddying at the end of the FedEx Cup playoffs, I found out. He's getting married at the end of this month. He says he misses his wife-to-be too much when they're on the road. So he's quitting his gig alongside his dad. But I can see them having one last amazing swan song. I think Stuart Sink is well capable of winning the Open.
Would that have been the most remarkable Open moment if Tom Watson would have won that year?
I think so. Yeah. I remember that one well because I had all sorts of people gathered in behind me in the media centre watching the screen I had in there, and all different nationalities. I heard some Norwegians behind me. There was all sorts of it was a real excitement. Yeah, everyone was pulling for the old guy. You know, everyone likes an old guy, don't they? So. But yeah, Stuart Sink was the real party pooper. Everyone,
yeah, he was.
Everyone hated Stuart Sink for winning that one. It's a bit unfair on him, but yeah, I'm going to throw lots of love his way when he lifts the cloud jug on Sunday.
I feel like this has been an episode of real caddy insight, Steve. We've had the news about Harris English's caddy doing some prison time. We've got Stuart Sink with a dramatic breakup. I hate to think what's coming next week. I really do.
Caddies are more important than people give them credit for. Yeah, there's a lot of people just think, oh, they just carry the bag, they do nothing. They're so important, particularly in a links like this. In links combat, you need a good caddy. And the thing about Royal St. George's is no hole runs in the same direction. It's a really quirky layout in that respect, that they all run in different directions. So judging the wind is so difficult at Royal St. George's.
Heard all about it with Bryson and his caddy, didn't we? I mean, that's you really think that's thrown him off. And having a look at Bryson's price this week, the bookies would agree with you.
Yeah, poor open record. He has recruited a new one. He's not going to be anywhere near the same class as Timmy Tucker was. So, I do not like DeChambeau this week.
Okay then, Steve. So there's your main six selections. Let's have a look at the top of the market, because you've avoided most of them other than Brooks Koepka. Now let's talk about John Rahm, who's 8-1, less than half the price of his nearest competitor, who is Brooks Koepka in the market. He looked solid in that Scottish Open. He's been in great form, a recent major victory. What is putting you off John Rahm?
The price. I really don't want to put people off John Rahm. This is a similar situation that we had at the US Open. We suggested a Rahm stake saver on the US Open podcast because he was clearly the man to beat, but there were just too many other tempting each way options. You know, when the majors come along and you're getting 12 places, for example, this week, it's difficult to resist that. John Rahm clearly deserves favouritism. He's hitting the ball magnificently. He's won two Irish Opens on a links, but his open record is not great. He lost some putting confidence last week, as we talked about in the Scottish Open. And I just wonder whether Royal St. George's might get under his skin a little bit. In the Scottish Open media conference before the Scottish Open, he said that the Renaissance Club, where they were playing last week, was more fair than St. George's. And a little alarm went off in my head there when he said that. I think the fact that John Rahm is already talking about Royal St. George's as an unfair layout, as a lot of people say, the bounces off those undulating fairways are so crazy. Some people call it unfair, but I didn't like the sound of that. And the price is the most part. I just don't think he's good value at the price, but I don't want to put people off because maybe again it's the one for the stake saver.
Yeah, absolutely. He is short, isn't he? Fitzpatrick says the same thing about Lynx golf being unfair. I think he said something along the lines of he wants to hit a shot and where it lands is where he'll find it, and you won't be getting that at St. George's, will you?
It's not a good attitude, is it? Because, all right, there's a few quirky bounces at Sandwich, but the straighter you are, the more chance that those quirky bounces aren't going to affect you. You hit it down the middle, you're going to find the fairway no matter what the bounce. I think attitude is a key thing this week. Patience, accepting the bad breaks, and Rahm, for all his talents, fiery character, can be unsettled. Will favouritism sit well with him? I don't know.
Absolutely. So that's Rahm ticked off. You've obviously gone with Brooks Koepka, who's next in the betting. We've then got Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson. And then we're kind of out to the 30s with Hovland and Hatton, Oosthuizen. Out of Spieth, McIlroy, Schauffele, Thomas and Johnson, who are you closest to getting on your shortlist this week?
I think Spieth, 2017 Open champion, really solid Open record, fantastic 2021 campaign. But again, I got this in my head that it's great drivers that win at Royal St. George's. Greg Norman, one of the best drivers in history, holds the 72-hole course record. I just wonder whether Spieth's driving will hold up. But of those names you mentioned, I mean, Schauffele, runner-up 8 times since his last victory. He got on the leaderboard again last week in the Scottish, finished 10th. I mean, it's just the story of Schauffele at the moment. I think he's a place-only play. His majors record is fantastic. Tied second in the 2018 Open. But can you see Schauffele winning? I think he needs to get the monkey off his back in a lesser event before he starts winning majors again. McIlroy, very inconsistent since hiring Pete Cowan as his coach.
Justin Thomas played well last week, didn't he?
Justin Thomas putted well on Sunday. I think that was crucial. He slightly changed his putting grip. He was great with the putter on Sunday, and that's been the problem for him all year, isn't it? But his iron play, it shows what a perverse game golf is. His iron play has been rubbish. His traditionally his great strength. The last few weeks, his iron play has been rubbish. His open record is poor. And he hit one of the worst shots of his career last week. I don't know if you watched much Scottish Open. In the third round on Saturday, he topped a 3-wood, which went 50 yards along the ground into a bunker. I think that the classic commentary line, there's hope for us all.
Well, it was very reminiscent of the three wood that Rahm hit in last year's Masters, wasn't it? Where he was in the shout. Did you also see Thomas nearly killed his dad off, didn't he? With that three wood, he's absolutely floated one out to the right, and you can hear him on the microphones going, "I've nearly hit my dad on my second shot of the day."
Yeah, he's been a bit erratic. I can't have Justin Thomas. Dustin Johnson, we must discuss him because he's world number one. Again, it's so weird, you know, the way the world rankings work, the two-year cycle. He didn't play last week and he leapfrogged John Rahm and took over world number one spot again. But he's not been playing like a world number one lately. You know, 5 months of erratic play. Last time the sandwich was used for the Open 2011, he finished runner-up. So there's potential for DJ to suddenly find his form again. He's that sort of player. But it's a big, big leap of faith, you know.
Well, I can't wait to see how Rahm kind of handles the pressure now, because when DJ won the Masters, didn't he, there was all talk of, well, he's going to be the dominant player for the next few years. Now that talk's being centered around Rahm, so we'll see how he kicks on. So they're the selections in the outrights, Steve, and it's worth noting, be tuned into Racing Post Sport on the website all week. Steve will have comprehensive day-by-day coverage. Let's have a look at the specials market, because you've got a few selections there, haven't you?
Yeah, the tops, as we like to call them. Yeah, I've got four tops that interest me. And the most attractive one is Shane Lowry for top Irishman. We've talked about the doubts with Rory McIlroy. But Rory McIlroy was a trier last week. I wondered how he was going to approach that Scottish Open, but you could see he was really annoyed to miss the cut by a shot. McIlroy's not quite there. He's too early in his swing changes, I think, with Cowan. And McIlroy is an odds-on favourite for top Irishman. I don't think that's the right price. I mean, Shane Lowry's a massive runner. I've seen 15-8 Lowry top Irishman. The market's completed by Padraig Harrington and Darren Clark. I think that's a great bet. And then a bigger price, Takumi Kanaya for top Japanese. This lad is clearly going places. He's already won two of the biggest tournaments in Japan. He won the Taiyo Masters when he was still an amateur. He's a 23-year-old pro now. He's the best Japanese player by far in this field. Hideki Matsuyama, of course, positive COVID test, keeps testing positive for COVID. He's out of the field. So all Kanaya's got to beat is Hoshino, Kinoshita, Inamori and Nagano. I think 11-5 Kanaya for top Japanese.
We talked there about Matsuyama having to withdraw. There's been a few withdrawals this week, hasn't there?
Oh, don't I know it. I mean, I got me 156 runner player guide. I've written about 1,000 words on players that aren't playing. So I keep updating that. That'll be in the pullout tomorrow, Racing Post pullout, Wednesday's paper, and then published online as well at some stage tomorrow. But you're right. I mean, Zach Johnson was the latest to go. I mean, Sam Horsfield, you're in love with Sam Horsfield, aren't you?
He's in.
He's only just come in. Dylan Fratelli and Sam Horsfield are the last two in at the moment. But we always talk about responsible gambling messages. I mean, this week you've got to really stress that, because, you know, your player could get COVID and be out in a flash, you know.
Absolutely. I remember we spoke about this, I think, with Robert McIntyre and the Masters, I think it was, and how underwhelming the entry packs are. Sam Horsfield got a screenshot and put it on his Instagram and said, "Look, I'm in the Open." But the email, it must have been to his agent. It just said, "Hi, Jamie. Sam's in the Open. Click on this link and he's in." You want more than that? I want a letter flown in. I don't want a link that's going to my junk mail if I'm getting into the Open. It just seems strange to me. But there we go.
It's the way things are going, though, isn't it? Letters are bad because, you know, people are licking stamps and, you know, people are COVID-ridden. I mean, it's just the way of the world now. I'm as distressed by that as you are, but hopefully over time, we keep saying this, we'll get back to normal soon.
Yeah, bring back the letters, that's what I say. We've got a few more selections from the tops markets.
We've got two more. These are two at shorter prices. These are for the more the high rollers. Martin Keimer for top German, 8-11. He's got to beat Marcel CM, Marcel Schneider and Matthias Schmidt. I mean, that is weak opposition. Keimer is a dual major champion. He was 12th in the last Open at Sandwich. He was second in the BMW International at the end of last month.
Martin Keimer, he's been playing well recently, hasn't he? And the last in the tops
the last of the tops is Guido Migliosi for top Italian. Yeah, this is a match. It's 10 to 11 in a match against Francesco Molinari. And experience is the reason that this is a Your Choice match. You've got a debutant up against an experienced former Open champion. But Migliosi is playing so much better than Molinari. Molinari has had back problems lately. He's not played much. He was rubbish in Scotland last week. Migliosi was fourth on his US Open debut. He's been playing superbly. So, yeah, I'd rather side with the in-form youngster in this match.
There we go. We'll recap all of Steve's Open selections at the end of the show. As you can tell, I'm so excited about this week. And I know Steve is as well. I'm really up for this tournament. We've also got another tournament to look at, Steve. Not quite as exciting, but it's the Barbasol Championship on the PGA Tour at Keene Trace Golf Club. A few selections from you for this.
That's it. Yeah, it's 7,328 yard par 72. Really easy track. Storms are forecast to make it even easier. You're going to have soft, wide fairways. 23 under par and 26 under par, the two winning scores there. So, yeah, we've got a PGA Tour birdie fest, not on the telly, but you know, it gives you something to do during the evening when the Open's not on.
Yeah, round the clock golf to be tuned into this week. How many selections for this one?
Four!
Take it away.
Number one selection, Taylor Pendriff, power pack Canadian, massive driver. He'll love these conditions. Four-time runner-up on the Corn Ferry Tour. He had another near miss last week, one shot shy of a playoff. He's won twice on the Canadian Tour. I think a PGA Tour breakthrough entirely feasible on Sunday.
God, that felt rehearsed. That was straight to the point. I love that.
Well, yeah, I know that the people have tuned in for the Open here. They're not that interested in the Barbasol, so I thought I'd keep it brief. They want a barbecue in the Open, don't they? They don't want the Barbasol.
Yeah, and the next three then.
The next best is Davis Riley, another Corn Ferry Tour star. He's won twice last year. He's from this region, born in Mississippi, went to college in Alabama. He'll feel comfortable in Kentucky. A very attacking player. He'll also love the conditions.
This is good. Hit me with a third.
Biggest price of the lot, Will Gordon, successful amateur, impressed on the PGA Tour last year. He was third in the Travelers Championship. This year's not been quite as good. That's why he's playing in events like this. 14th in the Palmetto Championship a month ago, though. That was encouraging. And last week, four rounds in the 60s for 28th place in the John Deere Classic. So, 80-1, Will Gordon goes well. And then the final one, 70-1 out there, is Davis Thompson, who was the early pace setter in the Rocket Mortgage Classic. He's only just turned pro. He was a college star. He's bristling with potential. He may be good enough to win on the PGA Tour straight away. This is a very weak field. He won't fill out a place here.
So that's the Barbasol Championship over in the US. Steve's tips for that. Steve, it's also worth mentioning, you're really earning your wage this week, because on Sunday, we're going to be doing a live stream, aren't we? You and Bruce on the Racing Post YouTube channel, where you're watching this very episode on YouTube. So hit subscribe. And on Sunday, you're going to be taking us through the action, and it's live.
Yeah, I believe that is 2 p.m. until it finishes. So potentially 2 p.m. till 7 p.m. if it goes to a playoff. Yeah, it could be a marathon session there. You actually see my head explode this time. Normally on the final day of the Open, there's a lot of tension. You're actually going to see that tension this time. So that's exciting. It's a good job it wasn't on me in 2018 when I had Tiger Woods for the absolute crown jewels, because that would have been ugly to watch.
Well, let's hope we've got Koepka, Lowry and Grace maybe sort of tied for the lead going down 18 or something. That'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
This is it. Yeah. Now, hopefully we've got a couple in there. It's an intro. We've never done that before. It's going to be it's one of Bruce's wonderful ideas. And hopefully it comes off.
Well, Bruce has taken some R&R, some rest and recovery in the lead up to it. So goodness knows what he's got in store for you, Steve. I really don't. Anyway, the 149th Open at Royal St. George. The six selections for this week.
Brooks Koepka, Shane Lowry, Brandon Grace, Harris English, Abraham Anser, and Stuart Sink.
Beautiful. And a quick run through the specials markets as well, the tops.
Shane Lowry, top Irishman. Takumi Kanyaya, top Japanese. Martin Keimer, top German. And Guido Migliosi, top Italian.
Excellent. You've really nailed the reading this week. You've got that down now, haven't you?
1996 Young Sports Broadcaster of the Year, I'll have you know.
Really?
Kenneth Walston home judged that competition, yeah. They think it's all over. It is now, yeah. Yeah, those were the days.
Well, let's round off the Barbasol Championship, and then it really will be over for this week.
Taylor Pendrith, Davis Riley, Will Gordon, and Davis Thompson.
There we go. The 96 Young Sports Broadcaster of the Year with your selections for the Open Championship and the Barbasol Championship. As I said, Steve will have comprehensive coverage day by day on racingpost.com. Head over there. And if you want more Steve Palmer and Bruce Millington in your life, then 2 p.m. on Sunday, there will be a live stream taking you through all of the action for the Open Championship. I cannot wait to tune in myself on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Steve, what's the last minute preparation now looking like for you?
I still have about a million words to write for various various companies.
I thought you could put your feet up, maybe a little face mask, some cucumbers over the eyes, and just sit back and relax. Is that not the case?
I think at about 10 p.m. on Wednesday night, I'll be doing that, yeah. But until then, it's all systems go.
Brilliant. Steve, thank you so much for joining me once again. If you have enjoyed the show, please do make sure to like and comment below. Who are you going with this week? We would love to hear your thoughts. Enjoy the action as always. Please do remember to gamble responsibly. Bet within your means. It's really important. We'll be back again next week for another episode of The Sweet Spot. But until then, stay safe. See you later. Bye-bye.